Reverend Dr. Ohniba Enyani Bodum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Bodum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Bodum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr. Ohniba.
I want to speak today on embracing your purpose by faith. Embracing your purpose by faith. Hallelujah. The sermon is also entitled, The Clock is Ticking. The clock is ticking. So embrace your purpose by faith. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Not many people on earth, if I am not afraid, I would say about 90 to 95% of the entire population on earth at any given time in a given generation do not, number one, discover their God-given purpose, number two, and fulfill that purpose. A greater percentage of the entire world are unable to discover the reason why God brought them to this world. And even a much greater percentage are unable to live that life for which God brought them forth into this world. There's a popular story about Jeremiah the prophet, who was contemplating about his life's purpose and thought that God had just made him for fun. Then the scripture said God had to rehearse a particular message in the ears of the prophet over a period of years, that before I formed you, I knew you and I had designated you for a particular assignment. Say, I am God's specific design for a specific problem. So, the urgency for preaching this message is that not all of us, and probably there is nobody here who is going to be a young person forever. We are going to grow and the night is going to come. And so it is imperative that we discover the main reason why we are here. And then we fulfill that reason. Then we can be glad and smile when the night comes. I told you about Jesus, how he was targeted. He lived a targeted life. Jesus at one time will say that, I have been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. At that moment, if you are Gentile and you come to him, he doesn't really give you attention, because he had a specific assignment. Last week, we said, Jesus said that there is a baptism which I need to be baptized with. And not until it's accomplished, I have this agitation in my spirit. So Jesus lived a targeted life. Jesus was only 33. But when he hung on the cross, Dr. Miles Moore of blessed memory said, he did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Amen. Then we learned about Paul, who also, towards the end of his life, wrote to Timothy and said that, I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said three things. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to tell you, there's a fight to fight, and it is not in the bank, neither is it in the hospital. There's a fight to fight. There is a race to run. And it is not in that microfinance you work or in that polyclinic you give injections. There is a faith to keep. and it is not in your marital home, there is a faith to keep. Hebrews chapter 12 said, therefore, being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The reason for Hebrews chapter 12 is Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says that, for time will not permit me to speak about Samson, Gideon, Barak. For these all, through faith, they subdued kingdoms and blah, blah, blah. And he said, but they were not made perfect. They did not receive the promise because the Lord didn't want them to be perfected without us. Therefore, so you don't separate 11 from 12. Because he was talking about these people. And he said that they didn't receive the promise because they were waiting for us. And then he says, therefore, being surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us also run like they run. But they knew their purpose. They knew it. One man that didn't know his purpose, or who was not ready for the night, was King Hezekiah. How do you find your purpose? The Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God does not change. If you have not discovered your purpose, it has nothing to do with God, but everything to do with you. Because if you will go to God and be diligent, God will show you the reason why you are on this earth. And you'll be surprised, it is devoid of all the things that we hold so dear to our lives. I've prayed, I've asked God several times, and the answer has always been one thing. That is the convergence. That is where all the strength is put in. But you see, the problem is that many people do a lot of things in their lifetime that they are not able to focus on that one thing that God wants them to do. So you don't make a mark. Not until we focus on one thing that God says we should do, we will not make any lasting impression. The day we die, we'll be forgotten. Three men lived a purposeful life, and I'll be talking about them today. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Your true ministry is your God-given purpose. Your true ministry. You may be a preacher. You can even be a miracle worker. But if that is not your God-given purpose, you have missed the mark. In prayer last week and study, the Holy Spirit made me understand that the reason for the lack of miracles in the churches is because the churches and the men of God, some of them have stepped out of their God-given purpose. When you step out of your God-given purpose and you do not embrace your original purpose, you struggle to make impact. But when you are in your purpose, as I'll be showing you today, oh, glory to Jesus. Now, we saw that Jesus in John chapter 8, he was being chased by an angry mob. John chapter 8, verse 48 onwards. He was being chased by an angry mob. They even said to him, verse number 48 of John 8, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? The New King James talks about a demon rather. Yeah. And Jesus answered and said, I do not have a demon. Now they were accusing Jesus of having a demon, that he was demon possessed. And Jesus said, I don't have a demon. Then they went on talking. The verse number 59, to cut a long story short, says that then they took up stones. They took up stones and cast at him. So Jesus ran and hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of the people, and so passed by. Then the next verse is John 9, which says that when he was going, as he passed by, he saw a man. So he was running from being stoned, but as he passed by, he saw a man who was born blind, who was blind from birth. He saw a man who was blind from birth. But this was somebody who was being stoned. And they were accusing him of having a demon. And he saw a man that was blind from birth. And what did he see? He saw an opportunity to seize his purpose. He saw it. He saw it in Luke chapter number 4. When he went into the temple. Verse number 16. When he went into the temple. And they gave him the Bible. And they said, we want you to preach. He opened the Bible to Isaiah chapter number 61. And said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, men brokenhearted, give recovery of sight. All right, that's it. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings or the good news to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. even the recovery of sight to them that are blind. So Jesus said six things. He said, preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, give recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and number six, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This was his mission statement. This was the reason why Jesus lived. This was the reason why Jesus came. This was the reason why Jesus was born into this world. This was the reason. So in his mission statement, there was a part where anytime he met the blind, he realized this is part of my purpose. So even though they were trying to stone him to death, when he was going and he saw a blind man, he saw that, this is part of my purpose. It's one of them. Give sight to blind men. And so he seized the opportunity and did fulfill his purpose. I tell you, your true ministry is your God-given purpose. Even if you're ordained as a pastor and God has given to you that you should be an evangelist, you are wasting your time staying in the church as a pastor. Your true ministry is your God-given purpose. The problem is, what is it? If you don't know it, many of us, more than 90% of us, each day pass by our purpose and we don't fulfill it. Each day. Jesus could have run because they were stoning him. But he saw the blind man and saw that this is part of the reason why I came. So I will take the opportunity and fulfill it. That was Jesus. What about you? If you know your purpose and you see it, you will seize the opportunity. Your purpose, is it to minister as a gospel music minister? Praise God. That's a great and wonderful purpose. It means anytime there's an opportunity, seize it. Because that is what God will mark you with. Jesus lived this purpose so much that one day, some people decided that they have to follow this Jesus because the clock was indeed ticking in their lives. You see, very soon, the watcher of men, there's somebody who watches men, he will come and call your name. Very soon, Job chapter 7, verse number 20, he said, what have I done to you, O watcher of men? There is a watcher of men. Why do you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? I came here to announce to you the unpalatable truth that there is a watcher of men. There's somebody looking at you like that, and he has set you at his target, and he's waiting that you fulfill your ministry. Because if you do not, he will call your name. 1 Samuel 13:30 said, God has found a man better than you. The clock is ticking. The night is coming. Paul said the time is short. From now on, those who have wives pretend as if they don't. 1 Corinthians 7:29. Let those who weep pretend as if they do not. Let those who buy pretend as if they don't possess. For the world is passing away. Paul said of his cares in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said that, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not fulfill my ministry. Woe is me. Necessity is laid on me. And if I am doing the ministry, there's nothing to boast of it. A footballer said that when he scores goals, he does not celebrate. He does not see the need to celebrate. It's like a postman who delivers letters. When he delivers the letter, does he jump? Yay, yay, yay. No. He's saying that his purpose in the team is to score a goal. So when he scores a goal, he doesn't see the need to go around jubilating, because that is what he has to do. That's what Paul is saying here. He said that, for if I preach the gospel, I don't have anything to boast, because that is the reason why I came. Why are you here? Why? The earlier you find it, the better. The earlier you find it, the better. You have to be about the Lord's business. You have to be about your father's business. And I can clearly tell you, it is not doing the ATCA. That is part of the business of the Lord. You have to find it. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 12 to 16. Paul said, not as though I had already attained. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected. But I press on. But I press on. Let me read it from here. Not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. If I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of by Christ Jesus. Paul is saying something here, and I want you to get it well. He says that it is not as if I have already attained, or I'm already perfect, or I'm already perfect, but I press on so that what? I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid a hold of me. Paul says that there was a reason for which Jesus Christ laid a hold on him. There was a reason why when he was a vagabond, Jesus Christ laid a hold on him. And what he wants to do now is to press on to see that if for that same reason Jesus Christ came to take him, he can also reach that reason and lay a hold on that. He was talking about purpose. Acts chapter 9, I show you verse number 10 to 14. I think we can even go to verse number 12. Verse number 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to what? To bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and before the children of Israel. And I must show him what great things he will suffer for my sake. So the reason why Jesus Christ laid a hold on Paul was that he had to bear his name. He says, for he is a chosen vessel. The reason why Jesus chose Paul was that he had to bear his name. He had to preach before kings, Gentiles, the children of Israel, and suffer many things. Four things. That was the mission. The reason why Jesus did not allow him to go into destruction, but he saved him. So Paul comes to 1 Corinthians and tells us that. He says, I am pressing on. So that the reason why Jesus Christ came to take me, I will be able to reach that reason. And he said, how am I going to do that? He said, this one thing I do, forgetting about the past, forgetting about those things which are behind, forgetting about every other thing, I focus all my energies into this one thing. This one thing. Laying a hold of the particular purpose for which Jesus Christ decided to take me. He says, this one thing I do. What was the past for Paul? The past for Paul was his academic credentials. He was the man that said that concerning the law, can you compete with me and boast with me? Concerning the paternity of original Jewish blood, can you? I'm a Benjamite. I am a true one. I was circumcised on the 8th day. Concerning the Pharisees, I am a Pharisee of Pharisees. But he said that since Jesus laid a hold upon him, there was a purpose that was shown to him. And what he wants to do now is to let every other thing pale out, disappear, and focus all his energy onto this one thing. It's the First Corinthians 3 chapter. This one thing I do, forgetting about the past, those things which are behind, I press on toward the mark for the price of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The mark or the price of the higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus, is your purpose. It's your purpose. It's nothing else but your God-given purpose. And he said, I will press on for that thing. The reason why Jesus Christ took you. Why didn't God? There are some of you here, your brothers are not even saved. There are some of you, your parents are not even saved. What reason did Jesus have that he laid a hold on you? And are you pursuing that? Are you? He said, I will press on toward the mark. He pressed on. He pressed on. At the end, he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. Three men that lived a purposeful life. And I'll tell you about them. Jesus. He lived a life so blessed. In John chapter 4, verse number 43. He said, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. His food. His food is to do the will of God. Because when he does the will, he feels satisfied. John chapter 17, verse number 4. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. It's possible to finish your work. It's possible. You see, then I'll tell you, Luke 9, verse number 57 to 62. Three purposeless men. Three purposeless men. Like the majority of people on this earth, without purpose. They are living without purpose. If I ask you, why are you here on this earth? And you cannot write it down in bullet form like Jesus Christ said, then you have to go back to God in prayer. Say, I hear you. Say, I'm feeling you, sir. He said the spirit, the reason for the impartation of the spirit and the reason for the coming upon of the anointing is because I have to preach the good news to the poor. I have to heal the brokenhearted. I have to open the sight of the blind. I have to release them that are bound. I have to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. I have to proclaim liberty to captives. If you cannot in a bullet form list your mission statement on this earth after today's sermon, go back to God in prayer. Why are you here? It's not to buy Mercedes. It's not to buy Pajaro. Why are you here? Three purposeless men came to Jesus Christ. One of them, the first purposeless man, was a scribe. Read.
Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.
So, you know, this man, according to Matthew's account, Matthew also wrote the same thing. This man was a scribe. He was a pastor. He was a man of God. But he realized that he was not living his God-given purpose. That was his true ministry. So he came to Jesus Christ and said that, I want to follow you wherever you go. Why did he want to follow Jesus? Not just for following sake, but they realized that Jesus was living a life of purpose. So they also wanted to be like that. And when he came to Jesus Christ, said something to him. He said that, you know, the foxes have holes, the bears have nests, but me, in the fulfillment of my purpose, it will not matter. You see, hear what I'm about to say. You see, my environment does not take, I don't take into account the conditions of my environment in the fulfillment of my God-given purpose. So even as you want to follow me, I want you to know that there is a, Jesus Christ had a place to sleep. That's not what he meant by, it's not he didn't have a place to sleep. He was just telling the guy something. That in the fulfillment of, was Jesus sleeping on trees? No. So he was telling the guy that the following is not just following him. To fulfill your purpose, it will get to a place where we will be denied the basic necessities of life. But because we are set on this one thing, even though they deny us, we will still pursue our purpose. Then the guy looked at him and said, okay, let me go home and come back. I want to go home and come back. Then the second man came. He was already following Jesus. If you put the two accounts, the Matthew account and the Luke account, the second one came. Jesus Christ said, follow me. Then he said, there is a burial home. Let me go and bury my father. And then I will come back to follow you. All right. I will explain. Jesus called this man like he called Peter. Jesus called this man like he called Peter, James, and John. He did. He said, follow me. It is obvious that the man's father did not die the minute Jesus said, follow me. It means that his father had already died. And he was aware that his father was dead, but he was with Team Jesus. The life of purpose is going to be very demanding. And that when Jesus Christ, after he told the first man that, you see, when we are going, we may not even have a place to lay our head like a fox. The second man heard it. And so when Jesus said, follow me, he said, oh, please wait. Let me go home and bury my father. And once I bury my father, I will come back. He was lying. You know why I was lying? You know Jesus' answer to him? Let the dead bury their dead. Can I preach to you? Live a life of purpose. See the way your face is quiet. You are not living your God-given purpose. Actually, you don't even know it. You don't know why God made you. It's not to worship God. It's not that one. It's the generalized purpose of all men. What is God's primary purpose for you? He called the man and said, follow me. He said, Oga, I beg, oh, let me go and bury my father. His father didn't die the day Jesus Christ said, follow him. He neglected the call of duty because of the pressures of living a life of purpose. He said, can I go and have fun again? Can I go to my comfort zone? The man's comfort zone became a shrine. His home, the ceremony, the things going on there. He realized that Jesus guy was too serious. He wanted to go for one last party with his friends. Go and bury his father. And the response of Jesus painted the picture of the entire family that man came from. He said, let the dead bury the dead. There's no tautology in that. Jesus Christ was saying, People who live a life without purpose, people who live a purposeless life, they are dead people among the living. He said that let those people in your house who do not have a purpose, and so they are dead, let them go and bury your purposeless father who died without fulfilling his ministry. But you, go and do your purpose. Go and preach the gospel. That's what he said to him. He said, leave those people. They are all dead people. Let them go and bury their dead. His father died a premature death. He said to me, premature death is when a man, irrespective of his age, died without fulfilling his God-given purpose. There are 90-year-olds who have died premature death. Do you think Miles Morrow died a premature death? No! Do you think Jesus Christ at 33, his death was premature? No! Paul died 50s. Was his death premature? No! Men who could say, I have fought the fight, I have finished my race. No! Jesus Christ looked at the man coming from a purposeless home. I'm talking to you. Your father's ambitions had nothing to do with the purposes of God. Your mother's ambitions had nothing to do with the purposes of God. All we are concerned, Moses said that a man's age is how many? About 70 or 80. Don't mind him. He lived 120. We will go far. He said a man's age is about 70 or 80. And in all this, it is just filled with labor and sorrow. All your life is just labor. One job to the other. There are some of you, you do 3-4 jobs. I'm telling you that it is better to be employed and to find your God-given purpose than to be the CEO of a bank and not know your God-given purpose. I am telling you, success on this earth is not when you have 10 houses in East Legon. Success is not when you have master's degree upon master's degree. No. Success is when you enter into divinity and you hear the word from the watcher of men, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is success. Because you fulfilled your purpose. Because you fulfilled your purpose. Your God-given purpose. When you know it, when all men are going this way, you'll be going this way. Why are you not going for the party? Oh, sorry. Do you know why you are on this earth? Do you know? God-given purpose. He said, let the dead, if you live a life without purpose, you are dead. You are the dead among the living. He said, let those who are dead, let them go and bury their dead by you. For your father died without purpose. Let those who are also dead in the house, waiting to die their normal death, let them go and bury the dead man who was already dead in purpose. By you, go and preach the gospel. Go, because that is your purpose. He looked at him and still went back. 3 men that came to Jesus, none of them stayed. Take a sample. Look around you. How many people are fulfilling their purpose? Then the third one came. He said, I also want to follow you, but this is life's greatest mentor telling you to follow me. And he said, I'm going to bury. He said, let the dead go and bury the dead. I'll talk to you about another man who lived his purpose. His name was Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. 40 good years in the house of Pharaoh. 40 years. He lived as a prince. He lived as a prince. You see, anytime you step into the obedience of fulfilling your purpose, miracles will follow you. This is strong meat, though. This is not milk. This is strong meat. Moses was there 40 years enjoying the prince. He's sitting in the chair. They find him. They bring him food, everything. Then one day, he started thinking that, there is more to life than this enjoyment I have in the palace. So he started to look for the reason why. Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of you anymore or speak anymore of your name. But his word was like fire in my bones and my heart, and it was burning, and I could not hold back. Moses could not hold back anymore. When Stephen preached his last sermon in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, he said that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and blah, blah, blah. And he said one thing, he said that when he was 40 years, it came into his heart. verse number 23 of Acts chapter 7. He said, at the age of 40, it came into his heart to do what? To embrace his purpose. To go and visit. He was thinking about what he had to do. So Moses went. Moses went. As long as you live, you are either a dead man or a living man by reason of the fulfillment of your purpose. I'm asking you, what did God bring you here to do? Tick tock, tick tock. The clock is running. God did not bring you to be a housewife, and that is all. To be a chorister, and that is all. There is a reason. Moses, 40 years. The day it came into his heart that life was more than the pleasures of Egypt. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'll take the reading from the Amplified Bible. The day it came into his heart that life was more than the enjoyment of the palace, he did something. He did something. You know, Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. I can preach it. He said, amplified. He said, aroused by faith, Moses, when he had grown to maturity and become great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Shout hallelujah. Aroused by faith. When Moses had grown and come to maturity, you have grown. You have come to maturity. Your thoughts should change. He realized that even though they were giving him all the riches of the world, they were killing him before God. And so he said, I refuse today to be called the medical doctor anymore. I refuse today to be called the banker anymore. I refuse today to be called the prince of Egypt anymore. Why? Because, verse number 25, he preferred to share. Oh, good, good. Because he preferred to share the oppression, the suffering, and the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. Moses was deliberate. Moses made a deliberate decision to choose the life of his purpose. He said he considered the contempt and the abuse and the shame born for Christ to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. For he looked forward and away to the reward or the recompense. Verse number 27. He said, motivated by faith, Moses left. Motivated by faith, Moses left Egypt behind. A prince. What? You, if they put you in a palace and give you food and give you the best cars and give you the best schools, would they ever come into your heart to fulfill your purpose? The man was in a palace. He had everything in life, but he realized that the things you want. Yesterday at our prayer, Minister Bright, he said that some people are praying for breakthrough to go to Europe. He's gotten his papers. The sisters filed for him to go and stay in Europe, and he wants to come back home. Because he doesn't even see God there. He wants to pray. There's nobody to pray with. He said, aroused by faith, when he came to maturity, you have come to maturity. Moses said, I don't want you to call me a prince anymore because you are killing me. Don't let that job kill you before God. He said, let the dead bury their dead. Don't be dead before God. Then aroused by faith, motivated by faith, Moses decided to leave everything behind. Brethren, it's time to leave everything behind and go on to fulfill our purpose. It's time. I'm telling you, it's time to leave this world behind. Why? Because he considered the abuse and the shame that is suffered along the line of fulfilling your purpose to be greater wealth than all the riches he had in Egypt. Oh, he considered the sufferings that we do, like me. Some of my friends think I'm not wise. I had studied a lot. They think I should be in the medical school doing some things, teaching, doing some things. But the reason why I'm stuck in this hot place and preaching and screaming my voice every day coming here when my friends are sitting down in the consulting rooms making fun is that I have discovered my God-given purpose. And when you discover it, you see that 27, he said, motivated by faith. The day you discover it, you have the boldness to leave everything behind. And he was not bothered about the wrath of the king. You see, the day you decide to walk into the obedience of your purpose, you are not bothered about whether your father, your mother, your mentor, whether they will be angry or not. He said he was not bothered. He was unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. Why? Because he held staunchly to his purpose. Hold on to your purpose. So he ran. He ran. He ran. He ran. He ran with a rod. The only thing he had in his hand was a rod. He ran all the way from a palace to the life of the wilderness. From a prince to a pauper. He had no food, but it was better because it was the commencement of his God-given purpose. And there, Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, I believe, he said at the backside of the mountain, Moses with a rod that he ran from Egypt with was taking care of sheep. From prince, you would have said that God had cursed you. From prince to shepherd, you would have said that, hey, Radin Timi Pavidye. That's what you would have said. That's what you would have said. But he was there. He said, I will hold on. You know, scripture. He said, for he never flinched when we didn't say kapi. And he held staunchly to his purpose. What is your purpose? Have you discovered it? Then hold on to it. Fulfill it. I know my purpose. I know it. I know it at the back of me. I just know it. And those of us who know it, that grace give us strength to fulfill it. What Moses did, you know, I was sitting in a plane from Ohio to Texas. I went to preach. And I was thinking about the ministry and, you know, giving it all to God and, you know, stopping all this part-time practice I'm doing. And then the Lord showed me this scripture, Hebrews 11, 24 and 27. He said, aroused by faith, when he came to maturity, he said, don't call me anymore. You see, I don't want you to even consider me as a doctor anymore. The next thing is that, motivated by faith, he decided to walk away like I'm getting ready to walk away. He decided to walk away from it. And then he decided that the abuse, the shame, all that you won't get salary, all those things is better wealth. Is better than the riches of Egypt. Do you really live by your Bible? Do you really live by it? And so he ran, holding his staff in the heat, in the heat, in the heat. He ran, he ran. Then the man who never had a vision from God, the day he stepped into obedience, see burning bush before him. He said, what is this? Then the Lord said, Moses, come. I came here to tell you, the day you decide to walk in the obedience of your purpose, miracles will follow you. The Lord Jesus came to him and spoke to him and said, go. He said, this is the only thing I have. I ran away with this rod. I came here with a testimony. The very thing in your hand that has not been effective, the day you step into the obedience of fulfilling your purpose, it will become the most effective weapon of your life. Hey, Mua, Mua, the very thing, that voice, that message you preach, people don't listen. That song you've been singing and Ghana hasn't heard. The day you decide to step in the obedience of your purpose, that same voice you used to sing, nations will want to hear. That same message we've been preaching here that people don't understand, nations will gather for conferences to hear because we stepped into our God-given purpose. He said, put that thing in your hand down. He put it down and turned into a snake. He said, take it again. Not until he stepped into his purpose. Miracles didn't follow. Acts chapter 4, Peter said, oh God, behold their threatenings, and cause that signs and wonders will be done in the name of the Holy Servant Jesus Christ. You see, when you walk, Peter was asking for one thing, authenticate our obedience with your supernatural power of grace. When you step into the fulfillment of your God-given purpose, God will back you with the power of his grace. He will back you. So this is Moses, the one that ran away with a rod that he didn't know he could carry God's power. He went back to the very place he ran away from. And when he got there, when he rose the rod, he put it down like this. See, giant cobra. Every magician rod, he swallowed it all. See the same Moses. When he lifted up his hands, the entire sun became dark. When he lifted up his hands, see the water turn into blood. The same man, if he knew he was this powerful, he wouldn't have run away from them. Yes, but that time, he had not stepped into the obedience of his purpose. So when he entered the obedience of his purpose, God met him. God is waiting for you. He's just waiting. But I've been preaching here that he will not wait too long. When he stepped into the obedience of his purpose, miracles. Come and see him. One man's obedience caused an entire generation, over 100,000 people, to be delivered from slavery. The people God has sent you to, they are dying. They are waiting on you. And you are thinking about getting married. Marriage is good. You are thinking about going to school. School is good. You are thinking about having children. Children are good. But the greatest of all is your ministry, which is your God-given purpose. And then he realized, the thing was this easy. The greatest of all, he got to the Red Sea. The same rod he was running away with. When he got to the sea that day, he couldn't cross the sea. He ran across in other ways. But today, when he got to the sea with the same rod and he was walking in obedience, he just stretched the rod like this and come and see the partitioning of the huge and humongous seas into two for men to walk past. And if he walks past and the enemy comes, he just does this and it falls upon him. When you enter into the obedience of your purpose, miracles are not too hard to come by. The reason why churches are so depleted of the miracle working power of the Holy Ghost is because the pastors, the people, they have all stepped out of their purpose. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Stay in thy ministry. He said, do full proof of thy ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. You are not an apostle like me. Stay and do the work of an evangelist. When you enter into the obedience of your life-giving purpose, you won't pray for 6 hours to see one breakthrough. I tell you, you will not. You will not. You say, thank you, Lord, and it happens. Because you step into the place of his design for you. Another man that lived this purpose. You know Moses really lived this purpose? Another man that, let me even tell you about the end of his life. He lived this purpose so much that he finished it. He finished it. Going into the promised land would have been a bonus. Moses' purpose was to bring them out. He did. God said to him, now, go to Mount Pisgah and there die. He had power over death. He finished his purpose. God said, go there, and when you reach there, die. So he would go there, stand on the mountain. He said, have a look at the land. And he looked at it. He said, you are not going there anyway, but you just have a look at it. You look at it. He said, when you are ready, die. Then you go there. He said, I want to die. They said, no. Let me have a look at it. I mean, when you fulfill your purpose and you complete your work, God will even give you a jara. We call it jara. God will give you overflow. God will give you surplus time. You see, that when your time is up and you do not go, it's those men who do not live their purpose, like in Hezekiah. When his time was up and he didn't go and God gave him jara 15 years, he messed his entire generation. That man should have died. They say God, the day God said he should die. Because everything his father gathered went into slavery. His sons went to slavery. Generations after him went to slavery because he didn't want to die. When it's your time, I pray that you leave your purpose and you go quietly. He subjected his entire generation to bondage. But not Moses. God said that when you finish, die. When he finished, he lay down like this. To today, even Satan. And Satan, he doesn't have eyes. Satan and all his tuno and the cohorts of his team cannot find where God buried the body of Moses. Did he actually even die? One more man. I'm going to preach before I close. I don't want to come to this next week. It's Elijah. He lived this purpose. He lived this purpose. I tell you, the last stage of his life, he was out of purpose. He did everything. 1 Kings chapter 19. Then, when you read chapter 18, the ending part of it, when he met Ahab and declared to him, don't worry, just listen to me and they'll get a series. He met Ahab and he talked to him. He said, put the eyes in order, set thy chariot there. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. That was the end of Elijah's ministry. He had finished his purpose. Then he didn't want to go. Then he called Ahab and said, it was Elijah that threw the challenge. Bring all the prophets of Baal to me at Carmel. Elijah thought he was the only prophet. He thought he had to do something for God. He was not in tune with the spiritual atmosphere. And so, he gathered all the men at Baal Carmel. And then he said to him, call upon your God. He was lucky God answered him that day. Because Elijah had finished his purpose. What he was doing was out of purpose. he took a knife and killed 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asheroth, because he thought that all the prophets of Jehovah had died and he was the only one. He was not in tune. He killed all of them. And then when he killed all of them, First Kings 19, then Jezebel sent a messenger, verse number 2, 1 Kings 19, that tell Elijah that God do so to me and even more, if tomorrow by this time your head is on your neck and I do not do the things you did to this prophet. Wah! That place, no. Then Elijah, he started fearing for his life. Hey, Elijah had finished his ministry, I'm telling you. Because Elijah in his prime, the man that could call fire to burn 50 army generals in 3 successions, will not chicken out at the verbal threats of a woman. Elijah had finished. That is why the grace of God was no longer there. You see, when we go to the ministry and we do deliverance, and you go home and you are afraid, then it means God didn't send you. Do you understand? Huh? So the day he was afraid, it means God didn't send him to that battle of Machpelah. Elijah did it himself. When the Holy Spirit told me this, I was surprised. He said, what a shock. He was fighting for God. You know, and then the angel of the Lord, I'm speaking from 1590, the angel of the Lord came to him, he said, take the food and eat. And he ate again. He said, take the food again and eat, for the journey ahead is long. When he finished, and then the Holy Spirit came to him, do you know what he said? I have been very zealous for the Lord. I have fought all the battles of the Lord. They have killed all your prophets, and now they seek to kill me. Was it the people of Israel wanted to kill him? No. It was one woman, and he was telling God that they seek to kill, I only am left, and they seek to take my life. Verse number 14, he said the same thing. He said the same thing. Go to 14. And I want to tell you, go to the next verse. Alright, this is the place I want you to listen. I'm telling you. Now, you know when you read the verse 5, he went to sit under some juniper tree and said, oh God, take my life. Take my life. I am not better than my fathers. Take my life. I am ready to die. Elijah had finished his purpose. That is why he was calling on the reaper to carry him away. No way we. No one knew where we. So here, God said to him that, hey, take your things. Go. Anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu to be king over Israel. And anoint Elisha to be a prophet in thy stead or in thy office. What did I'm going to say? Not the time, also. And the man of Wayam or Mount Carmel, no, it was not in his reign. Those were the days that Elisha's ministry should have started. Oh, shakabos. He said, anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, to be prophet in your place. Why? Because you have finished your purpose and you are walking around creating chaos. The 2 kings, the Lord told him to anoint them. He didn't anoint any of them. He didn't anoint Jehu. He didn't anoint Hazael. He went straight. You go to the next verse. He went straight to look for Elisha. He knew his time was up. And he went straight to Elisha. And then he cast his garment on Elisha. It was Elisha that anointed Hazael and Jehu. I came here with a message for the young ministers. Maybe Elijah's ministry has ended, though, but because he doesn't want to appreciate that his ministry has ended, he's now doing silly things. He's killing people with sword. When God has not sent him, God said to him, my brother, anoint the next prophet to be in thy stead. Anytime your Elijah delays in accepting his ministry has ended, Elisha's time is also cut short. He just went and found one man. Moses embraced his purpose. Elijah embraced his purpose. Peter embraced his purpose. Paul embraced his purpose. What about you, Esther, Solomon, Clement, Alberta, Gloria, Nanakwis, Emma, Kemua, Pastors, Precious, Choir? What about you? What is your mission statement in this life? My prayer for you is that you step into the obedience of your God-given purpose. And when you step into it, one thing I know is that signs and wonders shall follow you wherever you go. The absence of the miraculous is because men have stepped out of their God-given purpose. when you step into your purpose, like Moses did, the one that ran away with a rod, that same thing he had in his hand became a tool. I see your voice becoming a voice of the nations. I hear your messages all over the world. I see that your ideas, God has used them for something great because you stepped into your purpose. May we be a people of purpose. May we not be like the dead who went to bury their dead because they lived a life without purpose. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting about the past, I press on." I want you, as your head is bowed down, to look for the reason. He said, not that I have attained or that I am already perfect, but that I press on so that I will be able to lay hold on that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Jesus had a reason for putting his spirit in you, and it was a specific assignment. Maybe it's to take care of some old people. Maybe you have to set up an orphanage to take care of motherless and fatherless children. Maybe you have to go to the Salvation Army and donate some things to them. Maybe it's some good you have to do. Maybe it's something one or two that you have to do at this place. But if you do not discover it, you cannot live that life. I want you to rise to your feet.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be a part of our victory services every Sunday from 6:30 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Join us for our special monthly services, Nail All-Night Service, last Friday of each month, Open Heavens, first Sunday of each month, and Shiloh, 4 days of dry fast during the second week of each month. For more information, visit our website, JesusGenerationOnline.com. Jesus Generation, experiencing God, raising a godly generation. We wish you Jesus.